Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Tuesday night is our first show at night for BYO Brilliant, and I have to admit, it's strange. It's almost like, it's different. Biorhythmically, it's got me in a different frame of mind, but we'll just see how things play out and see where we'll go with this. I mean, there's reasons why we do everything. I'm just not always aware of it, but I will often go with it. So anyways, today we're talking about the brilliance of developing your own mission statement. And one of the reasons that I was thinking about this, I was just wondering about my journey, the graduate student thing, and just trying to wade through what it is that's expected of me, and am I going to be able to get this done, the time frames, and you know, all the other things that might come up that I might need to address. And I was thinking about my great-grandmother. I was thinking about the people that went before me, and I thought, you know, maybe you need to solidify exactly where you're headed. I mean, you know you're going to graduate. You know that you're ready to get on with your life, but where are you going? It for me, it's almost like I'm starting a new life. I mean, quite honestly, it is. The first part of my life was spent in a completely different frame of mind. At the core of me is still the core of me, but how I thought about life was not as deep as I think about life now. And there were major events that happened in my life that changed the way that I thought about life. When people asked me to do things or they dropped something on me, I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't worry about it. I just sort of acquiesced. Being nice, quote unquote, was more important than my own needs, which wasn't a good idea. And I didn't honor all the things that mattered to me. I didn't think about all the things that mattered to me. I just did whatever. I lived by a few little tenets, the golden rule, and my great-grandmother always used to tell us to turn the other cheek, and which I still am not sure about, but I try to do it. And then I had this big, huge event where I was knocked about by some unenlightened people on the bus. But for whatever reason, I mean, the reason they knocked me around when I was driving bus, it all led to my being where I am now, which is a really good thing. I believe that the person that beat me up, I send them love and blessings, because I believe that they played a big part in my becoming a doctor. And I think that that's a really great thing. I also believe that having a little more direction in our life might make it just slightly more palatable when we're going through life and figuring out what matters to us. So if back then I had understood what mattered to me, I believe that I would have behaved quite differently with my sleep patterns and the people that I pulled into my life. Or as yesterday, if you got a chance to catch LNB with Lydia, Nina, and Brenda, myself, then you would have heard this wonderful information that my brother popped in there about cleaning out the front row of your theater. I mean, the people that are there in the front row that are looking at you, supporting you or not. I mean, really thinking about that. And I didn't think about who was there. I didn't think about where anybody was. They walked in my life. I just accepted them. But I believe if you have a mission statement, if you actually have a self-directed place to go, it's not as easy to just let any willy-nilly person walk up into your life, because they're not necessarily going or contributing to where you're going. For instance, if I were to just allow drug users, serious heavy drug users on meth and heroin, or just somebody who's super addicted, if I made them the most important people in my life, I have a feeling that the trajectory of my PhD would probably get skewed. And while that's just a really stark and obvious example, I think it's something that we all could take a really good look at. There's a very wise man, Anthony Robbins. You've probably heard of him. He has this little tape series. He has this little speaker circuit where he talks about the power, the power of passion that's within you. And one of the things he has said that always bongs in my head is to stop living day to day and design your own life. And I don't think most people have designed the lives that they're leading or living, and I'm one of them. I remember when I first heard that term, to design my own life, it sounded like an artistic term, which, had my ears pricked up, and I'm pretty excited about that, because try as I might to beat it out of myself, I'm an artist at heart. It's evident in everything I do in the kitchen, or I'm either an artist or a mad scientist. I'm sort of both. So creating is a really huge plus for me. And I remember the first time I heard that thinking, how come I haven't designed my life? How come I haven't even thought about what's going to go where I'm going to go, who I want around me? My uncle, when I was a really little girl, about 3-4 years old, Uncle Buddy, he's my great-grandmother's brother. He used to say that you shouldn't have anybody in your life that isn't going to do anything to help raise you or move you forward. If people are in your life and they're just there, they're doing nothing, or everything they say and do sort of drags you down, either spiritually or physically, then you need to cut them loose. And I remember thinking that was a little bit harsh when I was a kid. But now, after experiencing a lifetime of different people that I called friends, that I thought were supportive, whether they were bosses or sometimes family members that you're just, I mean, family is family, but sometimes they're just not, they don't have their head in the game and they're not supportive. And that's okay, but maybe you need to love them from afar. And we all, we probably all have had to get to that understanding at some point in time, because as my brother told me, another friend of his said, hey, she was saying something to one of her siblings. It is by chance that we're related. It is not by choice. And that was a heavy dipper for me to really listen to. I didn't choose everybody. Although spiritually, I think we do. But it is something to sort of think about, that hopefully we're making choices about who's in our lives. Excuse me. So here we are, a long intro to get to the brilliance of mission statement. A mission statement tells you basically where you're going. It's telling you what matters. It's telling you what your life is to be about. So I had this whole thought, as I was trying to figure out about mission statements, and then by chance, one day, the TV was on, and this is late. I was wrapping up my studies, and it was CBS Sports at night. It was on one of the premium channels, and there was a man on there speaking, and I remember thinking, man, that guy is magnanimous. And he said something like, if you don't have this in the game, and he was pointing to his head, then you're never going to be in the game. And I thought, what is this guy? So I rewound it a little. And his name was Greg Hardin, and he's from Michigan State University. He's one of the athletic directors. And he said, the whole mission statement today is teaching you to be honest with yourself. I'm asking you to be an expert on you. But it will only happen if it starts here, pointing to his head, first. It's only going to start before pointing here, it's pointing his head. And if you want to see that little lead-in intro, which he's incredible to listen to. His name is Greg Hardin. You can probably look him up, and that's Harden online, and you'll probably get a link to the CBS Sports show that comes on. There's another name for it. I apologize. But you'll find it, Greg Hardin, Michigan State University. And so I thought, man, of course this would come up, right, as, I've been struggling with how to go on about the mission statement, how to bring that to the show, and he nailed it. So let's go over some different steps if you'd like. And, folks, you can call in if you'd like to discuss it, or if you have some thoughts on it, the number is 646-727-2914. My name is Brenda, and we are discussing the brilliance of developing your own mission statement. Looks like my brilliant friend and sister, Nina, is in the chat room. So I'm not sure if there's anything going on in there. I'm chat room challenged, just so you know. So I don't always make it in there, but she's in there, and she's ready to talk to you about just the same things that I'm talking to you about, or she can relay things to me if you'd like to relay things to me and you don't really want to speak. Okay. The first thing that I said on the link is, where have you been, are headed, and stand today is directly related to the mission statement you have created for yourself. Okay. So most people who are dealing with their spiritual work, or they've been reading any spiritual leaders, will have heard at least once that, I've got my other co-host, Pepper. She often likes to chime in. She's that kind of a girl. And it's evening time, so we'll try to give her a little bit of slack. Pepper, come on. Thank you. Okay. So, where you've been and where you're headed. Number one, what do you want for yourself? Why do you do the things that you do? What do you want? Now, this is the time for you to really, 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 I'm not kidding, just get out some pen and paper, pen, pencil, whatever, crayons, I don't care, lipstick, and really pepper, no. And just sky's the limit. Consider it like science fiction. Well, do better than science fiction because they constantly limit themselves, but just consider it's fiction, okay? So there's no pressure. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. Just sky's the limit. You can say anything. You can be anything. What would you want to be? What is it that you want for you? What is it that you always wanted for you? Where have you wanted to go, been itching to go for the last 2 years, 5 years? Think back to when you were 5 and 6 or 7. If you can't get back that far, think back to when you were 9 and 10. Think back to when you thought you could do anything you wanted in the world. And that's where we start. That's where we all start. When I could, for myself, I'm not kidding. What I had wanted was 3 P's in my mind. The 3 P's that I thought would fit for me for a career. One of them was photographer. One of them was psychiatrist. And the other was psychologist. Those were the 3 things that I thought fit who I was and what I wanted to do. I didn't think about how to get there. I wasn't even sure, but I believed that those were the careers that just jived with my energy. And there were a few things that were shared with me that made me think maybe they weren't really. My dad did give me a camera, a really nice, not super expensive camera, but it was a nice SLR, and I did take pictures for a while, and but I have a stigma in my eye, and so I do sometimes, I just found that there were times that things would be just a little out of focus, but I did some pictures when I was doing that, and my teachers were just, they were always saying things like, how did you get that? How'd you get that picture? And just looking around the world. Now, I have a couple of friends that are photographers, and Nina actually has done photography, but trust me, I bow down to their talents. And I realized pretty quickly that there was just more to it than I wanted to do. Let's see, I do have a caller in here. I'll see if the caller wants to come in. One moment. Are you wanting to speak or are you going to hold back?
Well, I'll speak. You know me. I'm always wanting to talk.
It speaks.
It does.
Oh, wait, even better. She speaks.
She speaks.
I love it.
You got it. Hi.
Did you have something to contribute right now, or just going to jump in when you're ready?
I can jump in when I'm ready. I love the show. I've been listening since the beginning, but I just got on. I just called. So.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, really,
okay.
Really
well. When you're ready, then that's Lydia, folks, one of my other sisters. And when she pops in, And if you think, oh, it's just a bunch of family members, it's like, dang right, that's okay with me. And listen, if you're in the right mindset, you can
anyway.
Be my sister too. What?
We're all family anyway. The whole human
that's
race.
That's right.
We got that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so first off, you're going to figure out what it is you want to do. You loved your little fire engine. You wanted to be a fire person. Hey, just write it down. Write down anything. Just go ahead and get it started. And then the next step is, who are the people that matter most to you? Whose lives do you want to impact the most with your lifestyle and action? Now, this doesn't have to be somebody that's particularly right in your life at the moment. It could be somebody across the world in Malaysia. It could be somebody that lives down the street that you see all the time and you know that they're struggling. It could be anybody. Maybe what matters to you is how to help your entire community. Like, if the community is so important to you, start looking at ways that you can connect or help them. Maybe you could do something as simple as, there's a little girl in our state who started knitting blankets, and she was knitting blankets for the homeless, and she started a whole movement. Little young, sweet thing, I don't remember her name, but this is recently, like in the last year or two, and she's only about 9, 10, 11 years old, but she felt a need to help homeless people. So, and this isn't just one person, it's whoever you're choosing to help. Maybe you want to work with children, like Nina. She's like a savior, and just the most beautiful heart, and does the most incredible things with children that really need her kind of love and attention. It just, so, and no matter what happens in her life, she's always going to do that. That's imprinted on her soul. So maybe it's animals, whatever, but think about that. These are all, I hope you're writing some of these steps down a little short shrift, because these are good steps to look at. And even though I got most of these steps, I reframed them from entrepreneur.com. But listen, your mission statement for your life, it's just as important as somebody's mission statement for their business. If businesses want to be successful, you, I hope, want to be successful in your own life for what it is, where it is that you're hoping to go. The next step is, how do you want people to see you? How do you want to be known? Oh, my goodness, this is a huge one. My brother David and I talk about this. We've been talking about this for years, because people come at us and they have all these really weird, funky attitudes and behaviors. And instead of getting nasty and going into this crazy wartime effort of, oh, you can't talk to me like that, or you got to show me some suspect. The way we look at it is, okay, that's how you're hoping to be known. That's who you want to present to God. So you've been given your life, but this is what you came up with for expressing you. Well, it's some people, it's very sad what they're expressing. And I think they just haven't figured out that there's a whole lot more to them. The brilliance that's within us, we can let that out, folks. We can share it. And I don't care who you are, you got it in there. You're born with it. So if every time someone talks to you or looks at you the wrong way and all you got for them is some warlike activities, you might want to ask yourself, is that how you want to be known? You want to be known as the person that's always combating people? Do you want to be known as the person that's always gossiping about other people? Do you want your legacy about who you are to be about how you can steal things from other people? I'm not here to be your vice chairman. I'm not here to tell you what your morals are. I'm not here telling anybody what to do. What I am hoping to do is to give you some other possibilities that actually might be more empowering and joyful for your own life. So for me, I didn't really cover two for me. I just said, I just talked about it, but for me, the people that mattered most to me, I think the people that matter most to me are the people that don't realize, well, they don't matter more, but I really have a desire to help people who forget or don't realize that there's another possibility than complete negative, hateful, hurtful, and violent existences. I believe with all my heart that there's more to life than that. And, yes, I'm in school to be a psychologist, and But for me, I hope that people can see that. I hope that people can see that it's not all lost. Even if you've done things that you're ashamed of, or you've done things that you think other people will hate you for, I just want you to understand that it's not all lost. That just because there is forgiveness and there's you can always change courses. You can. People do it behind bars. People do it when they're locked in another country somewhere. People do it everywhere. You can change courses. And my life changed not because I was running around beating people up, but I realized at that time I had to really get serious about my life, about where I wanted to go, because tomorrow's not promised. We hear that all the time. And life is probably a lot shorter when we get to the end of it than we thought it was going to be. So, anyways, then for the three, the people that I want, how I want people to see me and how I want to be known, I want to be known as somebody who believes in people and believes that they're capable of more. I want to be somebody that can help people live a high-quality life and keep spreading that out around. I'm hoping that I can infect the world with a positive belief. And I really want people to understand that mental health services are not for just people who are out of balance or have some disorder. Your mental health involves just sometimes dumping stuff that's in there that don't need to be in there. So that doesn't need to be in there, excuse me. For instance, you're mad about how somebody acted at your wedding 20 years ago. It's still affecting your life. It's still affecting your friendships or your family relationships. You know, maybe it's time to dump that. We were talking about spring cleaning yesterday. Hey, you know, who else to help you spring clean your brain but a psychologist? I'm not talking psychiatrists because they generally involve drugs. I'm talking psychologists because psychologists generally help you see a better way for whatever it is that you're doing. So find a psychologist. Find a good one. Just tell them, I just need to vent. You know, that's it. You don't have to go for the rest of your life. You know, you could sign up and go maybe once every couple of months, or if maybe even once a week if that's what you need. You got a lot of cleaning. get the clutter out of your head. Get it out. Get it out of your soul. You know, so that's what I think. Whatever, just get it out of your soul, whatever, and really get down to who you want to be, how you want to be known. Fourth step, what do you have to offer? What are your strengths and weaknesses? And you have to be bone-crushing honest here, is what it's saying. Stop lying to yourself. Be down and dirty with this truth. Write it down so you can see it and deal with it. Okay, I'm going to ask the callers on the phone to give me at least one weakness and one strength that they know they want to work on. And if you're on the air, let's see, let's ask 253, would you like to give us one of your strengths and weaknesses, like down and dirty, no lie?
Okay,
that would be.
Hi, Brenda, it's Melinis and Lydia, Nina, how are y'all doing? Okay, now you said my strength, the strongest thing that I have about me?
Not the strongest, just what do you have to offer? What are your strengths and weaknesses? You have to be down and dirty, honest about it. So I'm asking you if you could share at least one strength and one weakness that you really, really have. I mean, this is what people encounter with you, the real truth. I'm not saying you have to change anything at this point. I'm just saying, just give me a really serious strength and a real serious weakness if you could.
Okay.
I'm just going to put that out there. Do you want me to answer mine first?
No, I'll go ahead. It's okay.
Okay,
I heard you. Yeah, I was listening. I just hadn't come in. I think my strongest attribute for me as a mission statement is not only that I'm ambitious, but being an older person and part of the AARP generation, I feel like I can show older people, you don't have to stop because you got older. You keep on, whatever that you want to do, do it, believe it. I am one that has proven it. For a simple fact, at 56, 55, I put out my first book. By 58, I was on the radio show. 65, I own my own network. So, you know, for my generation, I would say, be ambitious about those goals. And I know people looking at me, they're like, what, you got this going on? You got that going on? I was like, yeah. I mean, come on, God gives us life to enjoy and to help people and help yourself. So why not show people, look, I'm older, but look what I've accomplished. Look at the goals that I have before me, and they can look at me as an example. My weakness is trust, and that's just something I've just got to work on, is to learn not only to trust myself, but to be able to trust other people. So that is my weakness. But as far as my strength, yeah, I try and show not only people my age, but even to my own family and children, you know, don't give up. Just keep on pushing, because you just never know. You never know. You might find the right niche, or it might be something that will make you happy, or it might be something that, hey, you can share this love with everybody, kind of like Lydia, Time to Love. You know, she just shares herself and her love. It's a beautiful thing. So that's me. My strongest point is my ambition and goals that I will, whether they're successful or not, I try. And that's what I tell. Be ambitious. Just try.
Mm-hmm.
Some things will be good and you'll be successful. Some things are not. And that's okay. That just means that possibly was not your mission statement. Maybe you need to revise that or update it, you know, and go on from there. But, yes.
Brilliant. Yes. I will say this about what Lynette is saying. One real huge point she just brought out is age does not matter. It simply is illusionary, just like time. So it doesn't matter what age you are, and she pointed that out. Her family, you know, with people who are older, it doesn't matter. So whoever you are, wherever you are, however old you are, it doesn't matter. Just go for it. Thank you, Lynette. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Yeah, because I want to say I'm actually an entrepreneur. If someone were to describe me, they would tell you I'm an entrepreneur because I do a lot of different things in business as well as assist people, but I'm always, always wanting to try something new just to see if I can do it or not, you know? And
sure.
That's just maybe a part of my nature, my character, but yeah.
That sounds great.
I love
great.
The 2010 statement. Yeah.
Now,
okay, go ahead, Brenda. I'm sorry.
No sorries. No sorries. They're not allowed. How about Lydia, do you think you could share a strength and a weakness, a real down and dirty one?
Yeah, I can. I'm ready.
Okay.
Down and dirty. Yes, let's go for the dirty. I am a penultimate procrastinator. That's the dirty. I procrastinate. Yeah, I can do. I'm with the best of them, so that's my dirty. And my strength is my love for people.
I believe that. Mm-hmm.
All kinds of people, and I just love them. And what I want to do with loving them is to show them how lovable they are, so that they start loving themselves.
Mm. Amen.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Now, I know that Nina's in the chat room. If she wanted to pop in a strength or a weakness, I would welcome it. But if she doesn't want, I mean, on the air. If she's doing it in the chat room, I'm not really sure because I can't seem to access it. But, you know, if you want to pop in that, you know, that, you know, we'll welcome it if you wanted to, Nina. Okay. Okay. And I'll just go ahead and put mine in there, my real deep weakness. I'll start with my weakness, and that is second-guessing myself. It really weakens the whole machine for me. And I make a lot of decisions and I go with them and I do them right away generally because I don't like the hem and haw and I hate vacillating back and forth, but then there are times that I have that buyer's remorse where I just like maybe I don't usually go back and try to change, but it can make me slightly catatonic, and it shows in school and so many other things. And then my strength is that I see past most things that people – I see past – I'm not trying to creep anyone out, but I see past some of the things that people say to me. They'll tell me things, but I see the truth of it for some reason. It's always really obvious to me. And that might be a psychology thing. I don't know. And so what that does is oftentimes when I'm speaking to people, I often talk to what's really going on instead of what they say. I'm not sure if that's a strength or a weakness, but there goes my second guessing there. But I think it's a strength because then it helps me to cut through bullshit. and it also helps the people that I'm connecting with to get beyond their own bullshit. Because sometimes we have to get out of our own way. So those are my strengths and weaknesses. And if you haven't noticed, if you're listening, basically what we've seen is a path that each one of us has revealed about where our lives have been headed. And we actually on those paths because these are all things part of our mission statement. Lydia, her radio show is all about her strengths and her weaknesses. She's constantly working to combat that. And Lenis is, as long as I've known her, she's always been involved in some kind of new venture or something, and she's done quite a few over the years, and she gets her experience and she moves on. She's not unsuccessful. She either rewrites her mission statement or realizes that there's something better that she's, you know, she jumps on to the next venture. And I've watched that, and it's very inspirational. And the weakness, I've seen that too, because learning to trust people is not easy, no matter who you are. And then there's the wisdom of who and what to trust. And that's a whole nother caveat to trust. So, but that's a whole nother show. So, now, moving along, it asks you, what can people expect? Do you give your all or are you fair-weathered? So that's something to consider, whoever you are. What kind of person can somebody expect to stand in front of them when they're in school with you, when they're in your family, when they come to your house for dinner? You know, are you going to give them the all-encompass, I put love and attention into this, or are you going to be one of those people that throws your chopped greens in a pan and throw some water on it and then say, there's your greens. No seasoning, no love, no consideration. I know it sounds like a weird little analogy, but it works. I mean, if you're inviting someone over to your house for dinner, are you really going to serve them canned chili or are you going to get in there and do the hard work. Sort those beans, soak them, cook them, add all the other stuff to them, and give them some proper chili. Yeah, are you just, what kind of person are you? That's what you need to, that's what you need to consider. This is all part of it, what people can expect from you, because that's going out almost before you are, your mm-hmm. reputation. Okay?
Can I say something about that?
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead. For me, I might have taken that a little bit too far. What can people expect? Because Brenda will tell you, I'm a very loving and a giving person, but I give so until sometimes it's enabling, it's not helping. But they, you know, they would, people would expect me to do, you know, whether it's money, food, whatever, they expect. And I would do this because that's just me. I want you to feel full like me. I want you to be happy like me. I want you to be able to have paid your bills, you know, whatever, so if I can help you. But through that, people take your kindness for weakness.
Mm.
And then also your family have to tell you, you'll give away your last dime. Yeah, I would, and be broke. Yeah, I would. So I have some things to learn about what people can expect. You know, yeah, I'm a loving and generous
giving
person,
everything away, giving everything away. How does that really help everyone? If you give all of you away, then where's the Linus when the next generation comes along and could use somebody that, you know, just needs to help them over that puddle? And same thing for your money, your finances. You know, finances are very emotional. You can. What's her name, Lydia? Susan? What's her name? The woman that talks about what money is. I'll think of her name. But anyway,
yeah, I know you're talking about.
Your money, same thing. If you give it all away, if you're just like, well, it's all gone, okay, then how will you help the next person? Especially if then you end up needing help. And I know money seems really cool to a lot of people, but it's a tool. It's a tool. Remember that. It's not your life. It's not your meaning. It's not your core. It's a tool. And you still need some tools to get around in this particular society. There's no shame in that. So
that's so true, because I was going to say, remember, Brenda, when, well, it's been, what, 3 years now, I told all four of the kids, the bank of mom is now closed until further notice.
Yeah.
Now, out of the four, only one gave me grief. And wouldn't you know it, be the one that I helped the most.
Of course. They don't like the bank closed. They don't
the
like
one
that
I helped most, more than the other three kids, is the one that gave me grief. And I was like, my God, I would have thought it would have been one of the other kids. Surprise, surprise.
Uh-huh. Listen, folks, when you think that you're, you know, people talk about enabling somebody, I have to say that the way I reframe that from a psychological point of view is you're disabling them. You're not mm-hmm. enabling them. You're disabling them. I think
and
enable is a word that's been misused. When I enable somebody to stand on their own, to me that's a good thing. You know, I've helped you get a job mm-hmm. instead of giving you a bunch of money. You know, you're enabled to make your own money. But when I keep giving you money, I every time you have a problem, I'm there to solve it, then I'm disabling your ability to make your own decisions and solve your own problems. And that's not
I
love.
Like that. I like that. That's a very, very good point, and I'm going to have to use it, enabling or disabling. I like that. I did want to mention that Nina, who's in the chat room, she said that her strength is her ability to love, and it is also sometimes my weakness.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is so
true. I truly almost want to tear up for you, Nina. Stop it.
That is so true.
Her heart is so huge. She really is just a beautiful person. So,
mm-hmm.
yes. Yeah, sometimes we love so much, it hurts. It hurts. Yeah. Thank you, Nina. Thank you for honoring us with that. That was an excellent statement. Okay. Did you want to say something, Lydia, about you and what people can expect?
From me?
Yes. Did you? If you wanted to, if you didn't, I'll move on.
A wild and fun ride. That's what they can expect from me. A ride of love. That's what they can expect from me.
Okay.
And Nina said, stop crying.
Leave me alone, you antenna nut. So here's the thing. What people can expect. So Lydia and Lennis, they're like, they're giving their all, and clearly Nina gives her all. Got to hold something back, but nobody can ever state what they can expect from these ladies is fair-weathered response, right? So whoever you are, make sure that you understand whether you're in it to win it or if you're just sort of like, you know, a sad after statement. I hope that you're in it to win it. The sixth thing step on here is, do you maintain loyalty and to what extent, or do you feel change of relationships is essential to your being? Are your communications clear or unwitting? So it's like, do you maintain loyalty with your friends? Are you constantly, basically the way I look at step six is, are you maintaining your relationships? Are you feeding them? Are you nurturing them, giving them shelter, giving them what they need or not? You know, relationships are real and living beings. And you need to really think about that when you're developing your mission statement. How am I going to feed the important relationships that are around me? How am I going to nurture them? Or are you just letting it kind of go with the flow as if you have absolutely no control over what's happening? And when you do that, you'll see the results of that. Trust me, you must trust me. Or you're probably already experiencing it. The next step is, what makes you so special? And this is another big one. What makes you so special? And it's not a trick question, but you must answer it. These steps, these things, I'm telling you, I hope you're catching them, or you come back and listen to the archives of this show and write them down and, you know, just make sure you're hitting on everything. You can either do that or you can look elsewhere, but if they're right here. We've talked about them, and I've explained them to you. So hopefully you'll pop back in and make sure you go over this, because this is very important. What makes you so special? What makes you so special? Okay, can everybody answer this? Let's start with Lydia. Do you know what makes you so special?
My ability to act and speak love to everyone. Act in a loving manner, and I think that makes me special. People notice. I may say it. I may talk to them about loving myself and loving others, but when they see me in action, they see me speak lovingly and kindly to everyone I meet, to everyone I come in contact with. And sometimes I go out of my way to make sure a person knows that I love them. I'm not always saying, I love you. They might put me away for that. But I care a lot, and I show my caring in loving ways.
You embody it.
I do embody it. It's my gift. I'm so grateful.
That's brilliant. That's a wonderful, special gift. Lennis, what makes you so special?
Because I'm Lennis.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
But that would signify that you're going to have to get to know Lennis to get. Apparently, it's there's a little more to that. You're going to have to do some homework.
No,
yeah, you
serious.
Can listen to it tomorrow.
I'll, I'll be serious. I'll just be funny. What makes me so special, I think, because I'm a giving person. And I listen, and I don't judge. I'm a great listener. I will listen, and I really do try not to judge, because I always try to look at myself. If I was in your position, how would I feel? And the other is I'm a giving person. You know, if you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, Jesus, last night at, what, 12:45, Brenda, I called you?
Well, I don't know. Your nephew has precluded my being able to hear that.
Hey, neighbor.
But,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just giving, and, I mean, I've had clients call me late at night, and I'm the kind of person, if you call me after 11 o'clock, it must be an emergency. And it was. When this client called me, it was an emergency because I don't answer the phone, you know, unless I see Brenda or Shab or something. But anyway, so yes, I'm there. If you need me, I'm there, because my loyalty and my love for you will keep me there.
I thank you. Thank you. That is totally true about her. Totally true. That she's special giver. Lydia is this special embodying love person. And I already know what Nina is. Nina is the person, what's so special about her is even if you've got so much junk other people can't see around it, she still accepts you. She still accepts you. She accepts you with all your junk. She'll take you as far as she can get you. She accepts you. Unbelievable. The stories that would curl your toes over what has walked through her doors, and she still helped them. So, yeah, that's Nina. For me, what's so special about me is I have to say it's the sort of curmudgeon impness that my grandfather and dad gave me. I think that it probably makes people feel I'm easy to approach because they figure I can't really be that grumpy, and I'm impish, and so most people don't take that as threatening. But I can threaten. Just don't you worry about it. I got a big mouth pepper I could stick on you, and she might lick you to death or something. I don't know. Okay, so moving along, we just have one more step. What are the values, beliefs, philosophies, dogma that influence and inform your core mission statement? What are the values that are deep in there? You know, are you a golden rule person? Are you a person... I used to say things like friends are friends no matter what. I used to say that, and that was something I had to change because it was a core belief that actually was flawed for me. What philosophy are you going on? You know, do you have a philosopher that speaks to your heart? My best friend, his dogma is Catholicism. That influences him in a big way, and he finds comfort and structure with that. I don't, but he does, and that's who he is, and that involves his mission statement. So anybody like to share on that one what your values are? I mean, you need this before you can do a mission statement.
I do believe, I think my values are, I say the golden rule, but also that we're all one, and it's hard to wrap my head around, but as I've grown on the spiritual path, I really know that we are all one, and it fills me with so much love for everyone. You know, it's like I'm high most of the time. I'm serious. You know, when I read Dr. Dyer's book, Wish Is Fulfilled, and he talked about getting a healing from John of God, and he said that he walked around just
so loving and just and high and loving and high on loving. And he said, and it's a feeling that hasn't died for him. You know, he still has that, and or it hasn't diminished at all. And I have felt that way for so long that sometimes I feel like my feet don't touch the ground. You know, it's I feel very blessed by it.
Wow.
Very
You're a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a meat suit. Yep.
That's why the dogs follow me, huh?
Oh, yeah, probably. You know, your meat probably smells in... Yeah, good.
Guys are crazy.
Lennis, did you have a...
Excuse me.
Core belief?
My values come from my grandmother, and because she taught forgiveness and love, and forgiveness was like a hard pill for me to swallow. But anyway, she taught me forgiveness and love. And also, I want to piggyback on Lydia. We are all one. There is no separation. We are all one. There's no separation at all. And what I did through my 25 years at the job I worked at, there were people that got on my nerves, my last good nerve. But even still, I would say, you know what? I love you. Because the universe and God mandates that I love you. I don't particularly like you, but I do love you. And, you know, it would calm that person down. You know, even if it didn't have anything to do with me, they might have been upset and yada, yada, yada. But I would tell them that. You know, even put my arm maybe around their shoulder and tell them, you know, I love you, right? I don't like you, but you know I love you. And so
yeah.
My grandmother, this is good because sometimes, in behaviors, you may like the person, but you don't, you know, you may love the person, but you don't like their behavior and vice versa. So I was glad that I was given the forgiveness to understand that and also the love to look above that and beyond it. And no, that's just how this person is right now. That's not their spirit. That's them in the flesh. And that's a great thing. You know, it's kind of like where Lydia is, where she says she's floating. Because you got to go to spirit. Don't look at the person in the flesh because the spirit is not like that. The spirit is always loving. In the worst people, in the best people, the spirit is always loving. But what we see is the flesh, and that's what we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But,
well, I love your grandmother. I love your grandmother. She sounds a lot like my mom. My mom raised me to and helped me to be the loving person that I am. And my mom was not judgmental. My mom had friends of all colors, sexual persuasions, before it was in vogue. Literally, she really had didn't have a too judgmental bone in her body. That's what I was raised with.
And you know, and the love, because my grandmother had so much love. Real quick story, because I know it's almost time to go out, but... she would walk from her retirement home up to this place on Madison. It was a pharmacy up there. But to get to this pharmacy, y'all, she had to go through the heroin, the crack addicts, the weed, the prostitutes who would be right in that area. And we used to be worried for my grandmother, like, oh, let me tell you. You know what she told us? God's in control. I have no fear. She would
That's
go
right.
up there with her little cane. She wasn't but 5 feet or nothing, or 4'11", would walk up there. Do you know that those addicts never bothered my grandmother? In fact, a few of them would carry the bag for her and walk her back to her retirement home. Never. No money, no disrespect or anything. And I said, you know what? That's absolute love. Your
mm-hmm.
love is so
yeah.
strong. It's like God, that you're so protected that, hey, even the worst in society will still help you and show you that love, because that's what's all they see around you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I want to be. I want to be like Lydia, up to the point where you just, as soon as you see me, you just see nothing but love, that you can't be mean toward me. How can you? It's just exuding all out her body. You know, it's like, hi. You know, but yeah, but just put that in about my grandmother, because there's no way I would do it, and I don't think anybody else would, but her belief in God, who controlled her life, was so strong, and her love, she was always protected. Now, would any of us have walked up there to get a prescription? No, I'd have drove in the car, jumped out, ran in, ran out, went back to Mama's.
I have no fear. I have no fear. I will go. I will go anywhere. I feel the same way as your grandmother.
Yeah, well, you're always protected. There, just well,
and it always pans out. I don't fear people. I will smile at them. I'll look them in the eye, and what I'm thinking is, I love you.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Those are excellent cores and values to have. And certainly something to think about if you're listening, and maybe you can incorporate that into your mission statement if you're not really sure about your core values. You can certainly look back to your childhood and see what people were saying to you. You might find that you're already incorporating these core values that it just you didn't even realize you were doing it. But most times that the people that are in our lives when we're young help to develop that core and the values. Most of the time, sometimes we have to rethink those, and sometimes we just need to deepen them. So I'm not sure if Nina had a core statement or not, if
yes,
you can see her.
She does.
She did.
Uh-huh,
and
she
so
does.
What
she
said, Nina?
Her mission statement. Do you want to bring her up, or I can tell you what she wrote. Nina's mission statement is, I am going to change my corner of the world one child at a time.
Oh.
Don't go crying again now.
Not crying. We just love the Nina. We love the Nina. And children need, they need in this world, they are so compromised, they need that kind of support. In every corner of the world, not just in Edmonton. So,
right.
And it shows. Listen, folks, what she's doing is going to affect all of our lives, because in another 10, 20 years, 30 years, those people that come through her doors are going to be out there creating a world that we can live in versus the ones that didn't get that love and nurturing.
Yeah.
So thank you, Nina, on so many levels, and thank you, everyone else. We pretty much have covered the mission statement development. If you're still not sure what to do, there's lots of information on the Internet. As a matter of fact, Franklin Covey, I believe it is, actually has a mission statement builder that you can chop into. It's just franklincovey, COVEY.com. And, you know, if you look for mission statements with that name, it's one of the tools that's on their website. There might be some other products that you can access, but you can still access the mission statement builder and take a look at that and see where that leads you. And there's many other websites out there that talk about mission statements. But if nothing else, take the time to really think about your life and think about where you're headed. And the sky is the limit. You can choose to be whatever and whoever you want to be. Even though I play guitar and I know I want to get back into my guitar playing, I was just thinking the other day, I wonder if there's just some interesting instrument that it might be kind of fun for me to learn. And not necessarily today, but because as I graduate, then my time spent under teachers in school is going to switch to another life. And that's another thing to think about. If you are transiting from working all the time and you're retiring, or you're transiting from school, or possibly you just had children, or you just were married, or you've gone through a divorce or something, these are great times to really sit back, get pen and paper, and really think about your life and where you're headed. You might need to, as Lena said earlier, rethink your mission statement, you know, move things around. So anyway, this has been the Brilliance of Developing Your Own Mission Statement. We do have some wonderful shows coming up that it would be great for you to key into. Tomorrow, Lenis is going to be on her show, Psychic Readings. That will be at 3 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Mountain and 6 p.m. Eastern. And she answers at least one question. You can ask for a free psychic question one. And sometimes there's time for more. And sometimes there's other things that she helps you with. So, you know, call in tomorrow. Use the same number for all these shows, 646-727-2914. The next show on Thursday will be Filmcology, and that show, the theme will be Alien Resurrection. It'll be with me, and we're still at an early show so far, folks, so we're going to work it out. That's at 11 a.m. in the morning on Thursday, Pacific time. It's 12 noon Mountain, and 2 p.m. Eastern time. And that's an hour show. These are hour shows. Until we get to Friday, we have Traffic Jam Fridays with Lenis. And Lenis has all kinds of wonderful smooth cuts. She changes it up each week. You never really know what she's going to be playing. So it's not the same old, same old. You know, listen, call in, make a dedication, call in, tell her what you think. Use the same phone number that you use for here. It's just 30 minutes, but it helps you get the end of your day and get on to a, what'd she say? She wants to put a smile on your face after your work day. And then we get to Saturday, Time to Love with Lydia. I will have to, from talking about this one, I'll have to leave it to her because I have issues. Go ahead, Lydia.
It's Time to Love this Saturday at 3 o'clock. Mountain Standard Time, so 2 o'clock Pacific Time and 5 o'clock Eastern Time. What's in your toolbox? Okay, and you just gave me, Miss Brenda, you just gave me another tool in my toolbox, and that is mission statements. A mission statement, that should be in everyone's toolbox. You said it.
I agree.
That's a tool, and I agree. So there you have it. Tune in.
Now, Sunday, we start next week with Lenis. Lenis, you want to pop in about your show?
Sunday's show is going to be nothing but fun and laughter. It's a comedy show, and it's all about jokes or anything funny. Even if you don't have jokes, if you have something funny you want to share, please do. It's just nothing but fun. We're going
to
end the month
with
laughter.
I thought the golf ball joke.
The who?
Golf ball joke.
Oh,
cool.
Okay, well, call in Sunday and tell us your joke.
That was
yeah.
a bad joke. All right, folks, it was a bad joke. Okay, go on, Lenis. What's the rest of your show?
Okay, that's it on Sunday. It's a comedy show, and it comes on at 3 o'clock Pacific time or 6 o'clock on the East Coast. So we're just going to have a ball, and I hope everybody in the listening audience will call in and just laugh right along with us. Like I said, laughter is good and a good healing mechanism. And it's a nice
yeah,
way to end the month.
Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another
okay.
tool, actually. Laughter is a tool.
Yes, it is. And I want you to know I'm the nut in the family. I'm the fool.
Oh, it's so funny. It's like Lydia's talking about the tool chest, and she goes, yeah, and I got this tool. And she goes, ooh, that's another tool. It's like she's building her tool chest.
I am. I'm building it up, ladies.
All
oh, right.
Brenda, before
and,
you guys go, I wanted to, real quick, there was a gentleman, Mr. Logan, and, oh, I don't see it now, but on his mission statement was to help 1 million people on this earth with their finances, and that's what he's trying to do, you know, to teach them about finances.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's
oh,
I,
well, I
to
wish
you
had been on our show last
Logan.
Night.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
Mr.
Well.
Logan, I wish you had been on our show last night. You could have given Frank some tips. Yeah.
Oh, right. Plug Monday show.
hopefully.
Go ahead,
that,
Lydia.
Hopefully that Frank is listening because he has the Logan Financial Show. So hopefully, you know, anybody can go listen to Logan's show. And Monday is our LNB, Passage to Empowerment. That's a lively show. And we are going to be talking with the Wolf Paranormal team.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I know. I'm excited.
So, Brenda, great show.
Yeah, and the paranormal, you know, it's connecting us to our souls. You know, if you really think about it, it's connecting us to the other side, and it also can help us rethink some of the dire thoughts people have about death. So I think it's going to be an awesome show, and I can't wait to listen to everybody and listen to the interview. And that gets us back to next week, which that next week's show will be up. I have it, but I have to rephrase it, so I want to rephrase it clearly. So I'm not going to put it out there, so it's not, you know, it's not outside of what I'm trying to rephrase. So anyway, that's what we have up until next Tuesday, folks. So we'll join us next Tuesday. Join us each day. There's a show available at varying times. You should be able to connect to one of us somewhere, somehow. And thank you for joining us. I thank you for listening. And go out there and live with brilliance. Connect to who you are. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Ah.